What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Now that is what it's supposed to look like when you're a good football team and you're playing a crappy football team. That's what it's supposed to look like. Welcome in as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here. Thomas Wirtz, other side of the glass, producing today's show. And an amazing game by the Green Bay Packers. Not the fact they scored 34 points, but the fact that they shut them out. Mr. Wirtz will tell you, as will my kid who's in here with me, that I was yelling, do not let them score, because you work that hard, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's peewees, you work that hard to keep somebody out of the end zone. You don't want them to score a meaningless score at the end and ruin your chance at a shutout, Mr. Wirtz. And they were able to hold on and get the first shutout of the season by any team, you said?
By any team. It's the NFL has never had a season where there has not been a shutout, and it had taken all the way till week 16 this year to get it.
How about it? How about that, Green Bay Packer fans? You win 34-0 over the New Orleans Saints today. We'll go inside the box score in a little bit. Also want to take your calls. Dial it up. Let's go. Let's talk about the excitement. An early Christmas or Hanukkah present, I guess you could say, right? Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. What was the most impressive aspect from this game today? I'll tell you right now, it's the defense. You can bring up whatever else you like. You're not wrong. This is just an opinion. But for me, you pitch a shutout against another NFL team. That, to me, is the most impressive thing. Would you say, Mr. Wirtz, that the Saints look like they quit at any point, or would you say they were fighting throughout?
No, I think the Saints are just that poverty right now. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone on that team who's very good.
This is the thing. That when you are a team that stinks, and if you remember, the first couple of weeks, this New Orleans Saints offense was crazy good. Like, at a whole different level type of good in the first couple of weeks. The first game of the season, they played the Panthers. They won 47-10. The second game, they were in Dallas against the Cowboys. They won 44-19. That's a lot of points. After that game, they lost their next seven games in a row. After they combined for 91 points in the first two outings. 91 in the first two games. And you're like, holy cow, this offense is at a whole nother level. I didn't think they were going to be this good. And then they came back down to earth. And now they come into this game having won back-to-back games as well. Actually, no, they hadn't. They came back after they lost seven in a row. They won the next two and then lost one, won one, lost one. The wins that they have in this one, the Giants, they beat the Giants. They beat the Browns, two bad teams. The Falcons, they're going to have a chance to win their division, but they weren't good with Kirk Cousins a majority of the year. The Cowboys ended up being bad for a majority of the year. They beat them the second week of the year. And they beat the Panthers the first week of the year. That's why there's no need to overreact when things happen earlier in the year. Let things play out before we anoint an offense to be the next coming like we did the Saints after the first 2 weeks, right? They came crashing back down to earth. That's why I'm most impressed by this Packers defense more so than anything else. What impressed you the most from tonight's game? Again, there's no wrong answer. Everybody's got their own opinion. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Let's go to Will at Lambeau Field. You're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. What's up, Will?
Hey, Sparky. I just wanted to talk about how creative the run game was tonight. Matt LaFleur is absolutely in his bag with all these misdirections, these fakes. They're working the outside, they're working the inside. And, you know, Jordan Love didn't have his greatest game tonight, but it didn't matter. They were dominant on the ground. They were working the ball any way they wanted to.
When you talk about this team, they are running the ball 48% of the time. That is second most in the National Football League. That is a lot. And they're running it very, very well. In that first half, the only drive they didn't score on was the drive where Jordan Love took two deep shots there instead of running the offense that they had been running to that point. And again, it's 21-0. Nobody really cares at that point because we all knew the game was over. But using Christian Watson more, you know, using him today, heading off the ball, and using Bo Melton and handing the ball off to him. And then, like you said, the way that they use their offensive linemen, and we should give credit to Sean Ryan, because Sean Ryan is a people mover, Will, and continues to be here for a majority of this season.
Absolutely. And people always talk about using the run game to set up the pass game. What about the run game to set up the run game? They're faking left. Yep. They're going right. They're up the middle. They're working it all over. These offensive linemen, you're right. Sean Ryan looked incredible tonight. They're just working. It's magic.
It is magic. No question. Will, how was the crowd in Lambeau tonight?
Electric.
Was it? Yep. I knew a buddy of mine is a Saints fan, and he was there. He said, yeah, I know we suck, but I'm still having a good time. So I guess that's all that matters as a Saints fan at this point. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's the thing, right? So when you look at it from a Packers perspective, I'm going to ask Mr. Wirtz this. Do you think they play act enough? Because I'll be honest, I don't think they play act enough. I think they could use play action way more in this offense, and they really don't use play action as much as you think they would, considering how effective their run game is.
Yeah, and with how eager Jordan Love is to take shot plays,
yes,
too, you would think he would be open to that idea. That's an interesting point. No, they don't use play action all that much, and a lot of their offense is based around strong run game and then shot plays, so why not sprinkling a few more of those? So I can definitely vouch with you for that. I did want to highlight, I know you said the defense has to be the MVP. I loved that point there from the creativity in the run game. When's the last time the Packers have had three guys score a rushing touchdown in the same game? Because it doesn't seem like that happens every week.
It's true.
Emmanuel Wilson, I told you I want to see him just get a bunch of carries because he loves to just bash his face into other people's face. And that's exactly what he did today every time.
Yeah, and that is something too that we talk about with this Packers offense right now and the way it lines up. You don't even have Marshawn Lloyd in this offense. You haven't had him all year long. We all thought he was going to be the backup running back. We all thought, because Emmanuel Wilson was third last year, he'd be third again this year. I don't think anybody thought that Chris Brooks would have a prominent role. And during the game itself, they were talking about how much that LaFleur likes Chris Brooks and how he brings a lot to the table. So I don't know, man. I mean, they're in a really good situation. And when we start talking about Super Bowl and what it's going to take for this team to get to the Super Bowl, I don't think anything of it has to do with the offense. I think it all has to do with the defense as far as being able to get consistent pressure on the quarterback and getting Jair Alexander back. I think those are the two biggest things as far as how you beat Minnesota in the playoffs, how you beat Detroit in the playoffs, how you beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or whoever shows up from the AFC. I think those are the two most important things. Offensively, I think this team's ready to go. I don't think there's anything else you have to look at and go, boy, I need to see this before the playoffs to convince me they're ready. They're ready. Let's go.
No, I completely agree. I think the offense does look like it's at the top of the NFL this year. This is a game you needed to have this performance out of from the Green Bay Packers to really walk away with anything super positive to say about the team. You got to absolutely handle from beginning to end. I showed up a little late. Did they win the toss or did
the
Saints did?
Saints won the toss and deferred.
There was 100% chance the Packers were getting the ball first in this game, right? Like, even if Green Bay won it, they're going to take the ball.
Yeah.
Yes. They needed to get off to a quick start, scored on their first three possessions today, which I think was the first time they did that all year, too. Since 2020, actually, was the stat on that. So I think you're right. This offense is absolutely ready to go. It's running on all cylinders right now and quite literally running on all cylinders.
And literally, this offense is built for the cold weather, finally.
Yes.
It's not a dome offense, which it was for so long with Aaron Rodgers. This is an offense built to play in the snow. This is an offense built to go outside and play in, you know, 5 degrees, 0 degree weather. This does not need to have a dome on it for this team to score points and be a problem. Now, the only issue in all of this is Detroit's a dome. Minnesota's a dome. You're going to have to probably go to one or both of those teams in the playoffs. And then obviously you get to the Super Bowl. That's a dome, obviously, as well. So in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter as much. But again, if you're the Packers and the way this offense is clicking and Matt LaFleur, you got to be happy. What's your biggest takeaway from today's Packers 34-0 win?
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the Saints, first shutout by any NFL team in the NFL this season. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Sparky here along with our guy Thomas Wirtz producing Other Side of the Glass, Green Bay Football postgame show driven by Young Express. Greg in Waukesha, you're next on the Fan. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sparky, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I ended up watching the game at the Q Club, actually.
Nice.
And, or watching the first half, and I don't like doing that because I miss Wayne and Larry, and I don't mind Joe Buck and Troy Aikman as much as some people do.
I can't stand them.
I don't see the beef that people have with Troy Aikman, but anyway, that's another story for another time. If you want to comment on that, you can. But I'm giving my offensive game balls today to Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed. And you asked what most impressed me. I think Jaden Reed's, like, right from the beginning, what was it, the first play of the game was an, I don't know if they call that an end around or a...
He handed it off to Reed, yeah.
To Reed. And that was pretty cool for me. So, and of course, Brandon McManus, there was just, you know, with that 55-yarder longest kick he's kicked. And this team continues to set records and to do things that are just above and beyond. And I'm just impressed with Matt LaFleur and the coaching. So I'll have your thoughts on Troy Aikman, why you can't stand him, because I don't really understand. He seems to be like a good analyst. The only thing he said tonight that really was bizarre, and I'll just say this quick and then I'll get off, was like, oh, teams need to have more special teams coaches coaching as their interim head coach of their team, because the special teams coaches are the coaches that really know the guys, you know, well. And I thought that was kind of an offhanded, you know?
Well, I mean, he says that because you have both sides of the ball that play special teams, right? So you get to know the personnel on both sides. I don't know if that necessarily means they make great head coaches. Rizzi is something different. Greg, thanks for the call. And if you remember, Darren Rizzi is a guy that the Packers tried to get, and the Packers didn't want to ante up and pay him what ended up being seven figures. So the Packers never got him. And instead, they ended up several years later finally having to spend seven figures a year and getting Rich Bisaccia, and finally were able to get their special teams coordinator. And they should have had him from the get-go, but they didn't want to pay up.
So Rizzi is a guy that's always been in my mind as a guy that should have been a Packers special teams coordinator for the last several years, and it never worked out. Rizzi is a guy like Bisaccia, who isn't maybe necessarily having the same success as Bisaccia had with the Raiders. I don't know necessarily if Rizzi's ever going to be a head coach permanently. I don't know if that's aspirations that he has. Listen, you have to remember, not everybody has aspirations to be a boss, right? If you're listening right now, do you have aspirations to be the boss at your job? And I would bet you, well, I would bet at least 50% probably would say no. Nope, I have no aspirations to be the boss of my job. I have none whatsoever. I don't want to be the boss. I like what I'm doing. I'm happy with that. I don't want all the additional responsibility. I want to work. I want to go home. I don't want all the stress of having to think about stuff when I'm at home and so forth. And then there are others that totally want to be the boss and are trying to figure out how to get to be the boss. And that's the whole thing. I think the same thing goes with coaches. There are some coaches that have zero aspirations to ever be an NFL head coach and are very happy in the role that they're in. And there are others that want to get to that point. Now, is Rizzi a guy that wants to get to that point? Don't know. But you can tell that the guys kind of rally around him to a certain degree. I know they didn't score, but I don't think they quit either, like we were talked about earlier, Thomas.
No, I agree. I don't think they quit on him at all. But, I mean, Rizzi, he did have a couple bonehead plays today. Like, I mean, the clock management at the end of the first half. Yep. For the Saints was
awful.
A really bad look for him to not know the
don't
rule.
Don't worry. We've seen similar with Eberflus with the Chicago Bears.
Exactly.
And people, he's been a head coach for several years. This dude's only been a head coach for a couple of games.
Right, right. Eberflus also doesn't have a job anymore.
Correct.
So, I mean, there was a couple bonehead plays, don't get me wrong. But they have been playing a lot better with him, and he also has no guys in. If any team that got hit by the injury bug harder than the Saints, I'd like to see it because they don't have their starting quarterback, running backs, top two receivers, and top tight end slash utility guy, whatever
on
you
offense,
want to call it, Taysom Hill.
Yeah, in offense, it's tough.
It's literally their five best weapons are all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what really makes it difficult, obviously, for them. And don't forget, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love had their own boneheaded issues at the end of a half.
Saints had a really good defense at a point these last 4 weeks, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's at 16 points a game for their defense the last 4 weeks.
They've been playing better.
Green Bay definitely had to show up against them.
But they don't stop the run at all.
No.
And that was the reason coming into this game, everybody thought that, you know, Josh Jacobs could end up having a huge game today, and he would have had a huge game today. But they essentially pulled him out and said, you rest, big dog. We need you for the Vikings. You just sit here, you rest. We're going to play Emmanuel Wilson instead. I was on BetMGM earlier tonight with Ryan Horvath and Brad Evans. And Brad Evans was like, hey, man, what do you think for Josh Jacobs? Do you think he gets 25 carries in this game? Because I think that's where the line was for carries in the game for Josh Jacobs. And I was like, yeah, I don't see why not. They're probably just going to hand off the ball to him all night, let him eat. What I didn't think of was the fact that they may pull him once they got a big enough lead, and that's what they did. And how can you blame them considering the fact that they've been running the heck out of that dude? I mean, they've been using him. So why not rest him, make sure he's healthy and good to go for that Vikings game coming up next Sunday? If you didn't hear, that Vikings game switched to a 3:25 start. 3:25 start next Sunday, no longer a noon start. We'll be here right after that one as well for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Thomas Swartz, other side of the glass as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Packers win 34-0. Up next, we'll go inside the box score, take more of your calls. What impressed you most in this one tonight? For me, it was the defense. What about you? Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Tigers get the win today, 34-0 over the New Orleans Saints. First shutout of the year in the NFL. The Packers defense, the one to get it done. Packers now 11-4 as we broadcast live the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studio. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Thomas Wirtz, producing the other side of the glass. What was the most impressive thing that stood out to you? For me, it was the Packers defense. What about you? Nicolay Law, Fan Talk, and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. And so many good things to talk about. And if you just start talking about just this Packers offense in general, things got off to a good start early.
Third down and goal, back to the air. Touchdown, Wicks, wide open. Green Bay takes the early lead.
Two yards for the touchdown.
So I got a question. That highlight, courtesy of ESPN. You like tell me, Mr. Wirtz, what the difference between that and Al Michaels call is? Just tell me.
He didn't
do anything there.
I was just gonna say. I think Joe Buck had a rough day a couple times today.
A couple of times today
he had a rough day. I was looking for a little more excitement. And I don't mind Joe Buck like most Packer fans mind Joe Buck. I think he's gotten a lot better over the years. Maybe it's because he moved to Monday nights. But, yeah, he was underwhelming a little bit today.
Hey, you like your yelling and screaming. And he wasn't giving you much of that at all tonight for them. Now let's also move on to the next score of the game, and this is our guy, Josh Jacobs.
So Josh Jacobs making people miss. And now, touchdown, Jacobs. Boy, there's something special going on here with the Green Bay Packers.
That's right, there is. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, highlight courtesy of ESPN. Josh Jacobs, 13 carries, 69 yards. Averaged just over 5 yards a carry. A touchdown on the day. His long run, 20 yards for him. Jordan Love on the day, 16 of 28, 182 yards. The lone touchdown pass to Dontavian Wicks, which you heard already. He ended up with a quarterback rating of 88.7. At the end of the day, 16 of 28. Nothing special, nothing to write home about, but turnover free again. Almost had an interception, but turnover free again, Thomas Wirtz, and that is something the Packers want to continue to build on.
Yeah, I would say that Jordan Love right now is finding his groove. I also think that Matt LaFleur is really solidifying, not establishing, but solidifying the identity is that no matter who is behind this offensive line, they're going to pound the rock until they don't have to. And Jordan Love, I think his day, you could tell he just wanted to take chances the whole day.
But he wasn't making dumb throws. Like, if nothing was there, he just throw it in the dirt towards a receiver, live to play another day. He only made, I think, one really bad throw. What was it? Dobbs out to the left side. Somebody was outside the left side. Malik Heath. No, not Malik Heath. Bo Melton. Somebody off to the left, and he underthrew him by about 2 yards, and the guy was wide open on the left side.
Yes.
Outside of that, I think for the most part, most of the balls he threw that he meant to throw away, and then he had two balls on that one drive at the end of the first half where he had deep shots. He had both guys, and he overthrew both of them.
Yeah, they were doing really well on the third and fourth downs earlier in the game because of Jordan Love's efficiency, and when he wants to check it down, make a short play, just take what the defense gives you, he does a great job at it. But he really is in love with his deep ball. And then he missed the one read that it was the freest touchdown ever to Christian Watson top of it.
Yep.
They ended up scoring, and he gets the passing touchdown anyway, so it doesn't matter. But for a guy who's looking for a deep ball as much as he is, for him to not see him on that one, kind of wild.
All right, so let's talk more about the third touchdown of the day. I'm not quite sure this was even on the board to bet. Chris Brooks, a touchdown anytime, but he got it if you bet on it.
Here's a handoff for the touchdown to Chris Brooks. He's got his first of the year. And when you asked Matt LaFleur, what do you like about Chris Brooks, he said, I like everything about him. He's a good blocker. He's a good runner. He can catch passes, and he gets his first touchdown on that little carry of 1 yard.
I liked it. Chris Brooks has been something, like we said earlier, that has been a pleasant surprise, I think, for the Green Bay Packers, a pleasant find. I'm not sure him or Wilson, one of them, will be out of the job next year once they get Marshawn Lloyd back. But for right now, going forward the rest of the year, I'm not going to say they can overcome a Josh Jacobs injury, but they might have a chance to survive a Josh Jacobs injury.
I was just thinking that all the love for the depth they get in the receiver room, they don't seem to get that reciprocated for the running backs room right now, because if they have a healthy Marshawn Lloyd, and we can only assume that he's as good as Chris Brooks and or Emmanuel Wilson, I guess, maybe. This is a super deep running back room right now as well, and it's led by Josh Jacobs, who's top five running back in the league right now. Emmanuel Wilson got his chance to take a couple carries today, looks like I wanted it, and they just love playing Chris Brooks. So I think they know they have a lot of depth there as well, too.
Emmanuel Wilson, 11 for 52 in a touchdown. Chris Brooks, 6 for 23 in a touchdown. I've seen a lot of NFL box scores in my life. I'm pretty sure this is the first one where I can say I see 9 guys with one rush attempt or more. 9 guys. I'm telling you, I've never seen it before. I've done post-game shows for a number of years. I've never seen 9 guys with a documented carry of at least one time in a game. 9.
That is a lot.
That's a ton. 9 guys with at least one rushing attempt. It's crazy.
Tucker Kraft QB sneak again today,
loved it.
Too.
He just runs up at the last second, gets under center, takes it and goes. And I liked on a 4th down call, Jordan Love actually a quarterback sneak, and there was nobody there. Just kind of ran forward 2 yards and went down. Wasn't even any type of battle whatsoever there. Jaden Reed, 3 catches, 76 yards. Tucker Kraft, 3 for 63. Josh Jacobs, 4 for 38. Romeo Doubs, 2 for 20. Dontavian Wicks, 3 for 13 in that touchdown. Emmanuel Wilson, 1 for 4. Chris Brooks, 1 for 2 on the day. Others with targets but no catches. Watson, Melton, Musgrave, each with a target. Watson, on the one play, went down, and the dude fell into his knee. And I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, I believe Christian Watson appears to be okay. I haven't seen the latest from Matt LaFleur. And we'll find that out. I'm sure Matt LaFleur will be like, I don't know. I haven't talked to the doctors. But I think Watson is okay. The dude fell into his knee. It wasn't a hamstring. That was my initial fear was, oh, my God, please not. We just praised their training staff for doing such a good job of taking him to UW-Madison Hospital and figuring this all out. No hamstring injuries. There he is lying on the ground. But it was clearly somebody just fell into his knee.
Yeah, I thought that he looked like he was fine to get up. He did have it. I wonder if he got aggravated on the first one, too, where he got knocked down and then he kind of sprung up when he was over in the end zone when they were trying to score. I think that Christian Watson, the only thing that really can hold him back now is his injuries. I like what he's doing. He's getting open a lot, too, right now, it seems like, for this Green Bay team. And obviously, he gets a lot of trust from Jordan Love. So
for sure.
You gotta take that into account, too. But That would really hurt, it feels like, right now to lose a Christian Watson. So hopefully everything's all good. Hasn't seen anything that it's too serious on socials right now. But, yeah, definitely monitor that.
And going back to those carries I said before, 13 carries for Josh Jacobs, 11 for Wilson, 6 for Brooks, 2 for Christian Watson for 23 yards. Bo Melton had 1 for 14, Reed 1 for 5, Love 1 for 2, Kraft 1 for 2, Malik Willis 3 for minus 2 on the day. I still would love to know how much Tucker Kraft would be used if he was somewhere else. Like, how many balls would he get on a game-to-game basis if Tucker Kraft was in, I'm not going to say Chicago because they don't know how to use a tight end. They already have one. Tucker Kraft was in Carolina. Or if Tucker Kraft was in Cleveland or somewhere else where maybe they don't have that dominant one. And he can kind of have that role of a Kelce or an Ertz or something like that and kind of be that guy. I just wonder, because we're all talking about who's going to get paid, right? Is Watson going to get paid when he's up? Is Dobbs going to get paid when he's up? I don't know, man. Like, I feel like there's a lot of untapped stuff there with Tucker Kraft right now.
How do you think he would do if he was Aaron Rodgers' tight end in New York?
Not good. Not good at all. He probably wouldn't. He probably averaged like 2 targets a game. He's got to throw the ball to Devontae 100 times. Then you have Garrett Wilson complaining about not getting the damn ball, or he wasn't complaining. Somebody asked him about not getting targets, which then is followed up immediately by the Jets head coach saying, yeah, we got to give him the ball more. Got to get Garrett Wilson the ball more. Hey, you know, you went from being Aaron's first love, and then the person he was married to forever, and Devontae shows up, and now all of a sudden you're pushed off to the side. Obviously, there's going to be some jealousy and some bitterness at that point from Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, he's got 7 touchdowns on the year. He's been a great red zone threat. It's actually the first time he's been over 60 yards since the 28th. Was that Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Against Miami. So, like to see him back into the offense here. I think he could be a much more utilized vertical weapon, but they had Musgrave back out there too. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, if they're going to run more two tight end sets.
I hope so. I really envision this working like New England with Gronk and Hernandez. I don't see any reason why it can't still be that type of offense utilizing two tight ends for a number of reasons. One, you can run really well out of it. You can run a lot of different things out of it because you can split one guy out one time, next guy out the next time. You can put them both into the backfield with Jacobs if you wanted to run out of that formation. There's so many things you can do out of a double tight end set, but because they have so many good wide receivers, obviously they probably don't want to run that a ton. And normally when you're in a two tight end set, you're going to run the quarterback under center to go along with everything else. But it gives them so many options of stuff that they haven't shown all year on film, Tommy, and then get to the playoff game against the Lions or the Vikings and all of a sudden come out and run this two tight end offense. Nobody would be prepared for it because you really haven't shown it a lot all year long.
Sure, sure. Are we confident in Luke Musgrave being a run-blocking tight end, though?
No, not necessarily.
Kraft is great at it. Kraft looks. That's why he kind of won the job, it felt like. But I like the idea. I just don't know how healthy Musgrave is. And if he's in the game, you have to assume they're taking Reed off the field?
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, they rotate guys in so much. Between Watson, Dobbs, and Reed, whoever it is, it's going to come off the field.
The slot, right? The slot's going to leave the
field. Yeah,
probably
Jaden Reed.
So, I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to say, hey, we need to start giving more looks at Musgrave to see if we can run something. But
think about it this way. If they decide to let somebody go in the offseason, as far as, oh, you know what, Dobbs has a lot of value, we're going to trade him for a second, or whatever the case may be, or, you know, Watson has a lot of value, and I can't imagine them ever trading Christian Watson, but, hey, Watson has a lot of value, we can get a second for him, we're going to trade him, and we're just going to run more two tight end sets. It does give you some flexibility as far as you can still go with what you have and change the offense to a certain degree and still be really, really successful because of the tight ends that you have on this roster. Packers win 34-0 over the New Orleans Saints. We'll come back. We'll look at the defensive side of the ball. Still room for you as well. If you want to have a board, what impressed you the most tonight? Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Thomas Wirtz over there. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. Right here on broadcasting live, I should say, from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
All of my that nasty D, they all going down.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Spee's Sparky Pfeiffer on the Fan.
34-0. Packers clinch a playoff berth, ready to roll there. That was all expected. No need to have a big party over that one. Everybody knew that was coming. But Packers clinch a playoff berth. Now they get ready for the Minnesota Vikings 3:25 kick next week as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Every time we get to the defensive play of the game, we always tend to go to our guy, Mr. Thomas Wirtz, other side of the glass, to get his thoughts and what play he picks for tonight's game.
Yes, we are going to the second drive of the New Orleans Saints in the third quarter. This is when they started to go down the field. Spencer Rattler just had made this jump throw that everyone thought, whoa, he's awesome. He's the next guy for the Saints, Derek Carr, who? And then
I think
he made
you're overreacting a little bit with that analysis, but we'll let you go.
And then this happened with Zane Anderson and in his first career NFL start.
20 yards on third and 17. He fires to Morrow, and he's picked. Intercepted by Zane Anderson, making his first NFL start. And for as good as the previous pass was, this one is on the other side.
Yeah, even Joe Buck admitting that one on the other side of being good. Interesting game for the Packers to have the first shutout of the season. They were pretty banged up on defense, too, obviously.
Pretty banged up. Both safeties, no Quay Walker, no Jair Alexander. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's, what, three-fourths of your secondary, which is big. And then, again, you could not like Quay Walker if you don't want to, but as far as his athleticism and how they've been using him on the blitz was starting to finally work prior to him getting hurt.
I know, but Edrian Cooper is making me forget all about Quay Walker.
But
right
you
now.
Want another one. It can't just be him.
I know.
You've got an opportunity to have two of those guys. With all due respect to Eric Wilson, he's nice, but he does not have the upside of Quay Walker.
No, he does
no
not.
No chance.
But I don't think either. I don't think he has the upside of Edrian Cooper. I think Edrian Cooper is like going to be a dog. They're
Who doesn't have the upside of Edrian Cooper?
Quay Walker.
No, I agree with you on that. Yes. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But what I'm saying is, if the second guy, the second best linebacker is McDuffie or Wilson next to Edrian Cooper, that's not the same thing as if you have another athletic dude that can get after and run sideline to sideline and eventually figure out the other side of this. Because again, he's shown you in spurts like, damn, that's what I was hoping for. He just can't put it together consistently. You know, they won despite not having him tonight. Do you need Quay Walker to win in the playoffs against the Vikings? Do you need Quay Walker to win the playoffs against the Lions? Is that, well, they need Jair. I think we all agree there. But do they need Quay?
I think you'd like Quay for sure.
I'd like Clay Matthews too, sure. Yeah, I'm all in on that.
I think you'd like Quay, absolutely. But I do think that Edrian Cooper is emerging in this late push of the season right now.
Here's a play that I would have suggested for defensive play of the game. It did not win. Instead, Mr. Wirtz went his way. This is the way I would have went.
Play action, Rattler's in trouble, ball's out. Keyshawn Nixon had the pressure and forced the fumble. Packers ball as Rashawn Gary comes out of there with a football.
Listen, this is the reason I would have picked that, because you're having a corner come up and create a play, or safety, whatever you want to call Keyshawn in a given night. But he's the one that creates the pressure, that creates the fumble, and then one of the pass rushers comes up with a ball. I'm not giving credit to them. But the fact that it's Keyshawn Nixon that forces that fumble tells you the way that he was going about this game. He was throwing some creative stuff at him. He was still blitzing different guys at different times. I wouldn't say it was an all-out, you know, defensive Armageddon going on where they were just bringing guys every single play and trying to kill Rattler. That wasn't necessarily happening. But they were bringing enough pressure to keep him on his toes, Tommy.
Absolutely. I do think that Keyshawn Nixon is so weird to me, too. Is he good? Is he going to start in the playoffs and be reliable at his corner position this year? Because
did you just ask if Keyshawn Nixon was good? Is that what you just said? Did you just say, is he good?
Because he gets torched plenty of times, too.
No. He's not good. No.
Right, but he makes big plays.
Average, maybe? Right? Because average would be somebody that shows flashes of making big plays but can't put it together consistency, but doesn't get beat as often as a bad player.
Right, but it feels like every week it's either, hey, we've seen the back of his jersey, or I didn't mention him the whole game because he didn't get targeted. Which has to be a good thing, too.
But did you mention Stokes?
No, I didn't. I did not mention Stokes today.
Did Stokes play?
He did.
You sure?
He did. He missed an interception today when Rattler, it was at the end of the game more so, but thought he was going to have one today. I was waiting for him to touch the ball for the first time in his career.
I was very happy with how the defense obviously played, but we start talking about guys that you can't win with and all that other stuff. Keyshawn Nixon had pressure taken off of him by having Bullard and Evan Williams play at safety. Now Bullard's been hurt for the last couple of weeks. Evan Williams, I thought he was playing tonight. So he ends up, he's an inactive too there. That puts more pressure back on Keyshawn Nixon like it was last year when they had no safeties and he had to step up and have a role. So I still don't think I look at him and go, yeah, you're good at what you do. I think he's average, maybe. I mean, that's a good question, I guess, for Andy Herman. Should ask him that tomorrow morning. Pack-a-day radio show, 8 to 9. Maybe ask Mason Crosby and Mitch Thunder Nellis from 9 to 11. They'll be here doing their show, and I'll be on from 2 to 5 doing Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Live shows all day tomorrow on Christmas Eve here on The Fan. No satellite programming in our time slots like some other stations do. No best of programming in these time slots. No guys they pulling off the street just to fill airtime, say they're local. These are all of our regular hosts doing all of our regular shows tomorrow during the day. So looking forward to talking more about that. Let me come back at you with this, Mr. Wirtz, about as far as this defense goes. Are you starting to get back on the Devontae Wyatt train a little bit tonight? Because now this is back-to-back weeks where now he's kind of been a little bit of a factor.
Yeah, he looks really athletic out there, too. His sack today was pretty nice on Rattler. Yep. I'm just back in on the defensive line in general, I think. I think the defensive line has looked really awesome the last few weeks. I know Rashawn Gary didn't get in there for a sack or anything today, but was pushing tackles back into Spencer Rattler all day. And they needed a lot of pressure out of the defensive line when you have a young guy behind the quarterback, behind that quarterback. So I'm all in on Devontae Wyatt and this defensive line right now. I think that this is what Halfley was assuming his line was going to play like the entire season.
Yep.
And this is what they've played like now the last 4 weeks. Didn't they have five sacks today? Did I hear that right? Three sacks today. And Rattler also just looked awful, don't get me wrong, but rattled the entire game for sure, too.
Three sacks, one sack by Devontae Wyatt, one sack by Keyshawn Nixon, one sack by Brenton Cox Jr. As well. And then as far as tackles for losses, they had five tackle for losses, which I thought was good. Quarterbacks hits, six of those on the day. Leading tackler, Edgerrin Cooper with 10, eight solo, one tackle for loss. Eric Wilson, nine tackles on the day, three solo tackles. Then Devontae Wyatt and Eric Stokes, both with four, three solo tackles for both of them. Then Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Zane Anderson all had three as well. So when you start talking about this Packers defense, you're getting contributions from a lot of different people. But I don't think you can beat Minnesota and Detroit missing these many guys on defense. And I understand Detroit's missing like 15 guys on defense. I get it. I don't think this Packers team is deep enough to stop that explosive Lions offense. I really don't. Not without Bullard, without Williams, and then without Jair Alexander and Quay Walker, those four. And you still have McKinney, which is great. But outside of that, I don't think they can beat Detroit with all those guys.
No, you definitely need Jair. If you get Jair, if you go from none of them being like, we can't beat them, if you get Jair, what does your confidence level go to? Just Jair.
Probably goes from 0 to about 40%, something like that with one guy.
All right.
I don't think I'm at 50. I think if you get two of those guys, if I get Evan Williams and Jair back, then I think you start talking about, okay, it's 50-50. We might have a chance of still getting this if one of these two guys come up with a play besides McKinney. That's really what it's all about. When you take on Sam Darnold and you take on Jared Goff, and the Packers have done well this year, I think, from this perspective, it's getting turnovers. Getting them to give you the ball and getting interceptions and then being able to score the football. In both situations, the Green Bay Packers, what they do well is run the football and eat clock, right? Which means you're going to limit the possessions of the Vikings and the Lions when you do see them in the playoffs, which then takes some pressure off of the Packers' defense while putting pressure on the Lions' offensive. We're not going to see the ball long if they just run the clock the entire time. Because that's what you're going to want to do against the Lions. You're going to want to have, you know, 6-7 minute drives to keep that Lions offense off the field. Then you're just essentially asking your Packers defense to get two or three stops. Make them punt two or three times. We win. That's really where you want it to be at this point. And tonight, again, the Saints offense is atrocious. You know, you got like fourth stringers out there trying to play the New Orleans Saints. But you're going to see this Vikings team coming up next Sunday. I think the Packers are going to win that football game again if they get a couple guys back next week.
Yeah,
I think Jair plays.
We've seen how you beat the Green Bay Packers, and it is keeping the offense off the field. And we saw it last time against Detroit. They just marched down. They went long drives. As long as Jordan Love doesn't have the ball, he can't hurt you.
Correct.
You got to find a way to get turnovers. When this defense gets turnovers and when they get quick and easy three and outs, the offense can just go at full speed. And we'll see. I'm going to say this as a prediction. The Green Bay Packers will have the ball first in every game for the rest of the season that they play.
Because you don't think
they're going to take the ball or the other team will defer.
You want the ball first in Minnesota and Detroit?
You don't think Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love want the ball first? I think they want the ball first. Go out there, get the crowd quiet, get the skull chance on a minimal as quick as you can. Go up 7-0.
I don't want the ball first. In both those situations, they're going to be as loud as humanly possible to start that game. If the Lions start that game first, and they go 1-2-3 punt or whatever the case may be, that's going to deflate them a little bit, I think, at that point, that the Packers' defense was able to stop them. But to come straight out from kickoff and go, here you go, you're at your peak, nothing bad's happened yet, come get it. I'm not saying the Packers can't play through the noise. Obviously, they've shown they can play through the noise. But I think I would rather do that. Let it be 10, 7 Packers at halftime with the Packers getting the ball to go up 2 possessions to start the second half. The one thing you don't want to have happen is, and again, maybe this is because I'm half glass empty guy, always have been, is you don't want to go 1, 2, 3 punts to start the game, then give up a score, 7-0, and you're not getting the ball to score start the second half. Like, that can just be a lot of mental warfare inside your head that you're kind of having to battle through one way or the other. The other part about this is this Packers team doesn't appear to get rattled too much. I don't know if you feel that way or not, but even dating back to last year, I don't think like it ever got to the point where they ever got rattled or concerned that they were out of a game, regardless of the situation. Go back and think about the Saints game last year. They were down big time at halftime, and Jordan Love rallied them right back in the second half of that game. And again, the Saints kicker missed a kick. I understand. But that's kind of how this whole thing started.
Do you credit that more to Jordan Love or Matt LaFleur for the feeling of not being rattled? Do you think Matt LaFleur has the guys ready to go no matter what? Has them believing that they can win any game no matter what?
I mean, I think technically credit goes to both. But I would say LaFleur more so last year for certain. This year, I think experience, having these guys having been through last year, knowing that, okay, man, we struggled in the first half, second half we took off. And what happens this year? They struggle in the first half again a little bit, and the second half they take off. They're already at 11 wins, y'all. They got a chance to get to 13. Bare minimum will be 12 because they end against the Bears.
What about the age, and you're talking about the maturity after feeling like they're never out of a game, right? What about they're up by 21 at halftime, and they come out so slow? Do you think that like complacency gets in the way of being young too, and that maybe they kind of thought, well, this game's over no matter what, and no one really wanted to go out there and do their absolute best or really worry about it? Do you think that gets in the way of anything?
No. I don't.
Because we've seen that with them not being able to play full halves as well. We've seen slow second halves from this offense.
I understand. I put that on LaFleur and play calling, if I were being honest. I'm not going to put that on complacency or anything else. I just think, and I brought this up to Charlie, and Charlie's like, they'd figure it out. Would they, though? What happens if you came out in the second half and ran the same drive as you ran in the first half? First drive that you had to start off the game, if you ran that same drive when you got the ball in the second half, how long would it take for them to figure out what you were doing? I don't think they'd be able to figure it. I don't think anybody would know.
The Saints especially would have been the team to try that against.
I'm just saying, like, we always talk about, scripted plays in the first half. What happens if you ran the same plays coming out in the second half? How long would it take a defense to figure it out? Just throwing it out there. Just an idea. 34-0. Packers get the win. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. As we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. And again, next up, the Minnesota Vikings. That game coming up next Sunday. And if you did not hear, let me explain this to you. Next Sunday, it's going to be the Packers and Vikings. And that game is a 3:25 start. I don't think that's really benefit either way, Packers or Vikings. But it's definitely going to be the game of the week everybody's going to want to watch. I don't think there is any question about that. That all eyes will be on that, and that'll be a game that people will be talking about nationally. The other thing people should be talking about is Young Express. They're right now looking for full-time independent contractors, people that can drive locally within about 250 miles or so of Milwaukee. All you're doing is hauling freight from point A to point B, picking stuff up, dropping stuff off, and of course, very reliant on your dispatch team. And this dispatch team for Young Express does it 24/7. Very, very dedicated, and take it very personal to keep drivers moving. If you're not moving, you're not making any money. And after all, that's what this is about, making money. With minimal investment in your own vehicle, cargo van, sprinter van, Young Express provide you all the training necessary for you to become a successful transporter of expedited freight. Now, all you have to do, quite simple. To join the Young Express team, you can find them at youngexpress.com. That's youngexpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
All right, Packers win 34-0 over the New Orleans Saints. Sparky here, Thomas Wirtz, other side of the glass, as we broadcast live live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Suit Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Remember earlier in the last hour, Mr. Wirtz, I was talking about the fact that I didn't think they used play action enough considering how much they ran the football, right? I looked it up in the break. Jordan Love, 17th in the NFL at play action attempts this year. He has 94 play action attempts. I'm assuming this is coming into tonight. I don't think this is live necessarily. So 94 play action attempts. 16th was Jalen Hurts. Josh Allen, 15th at 102. Then Tua, Joe Burrow, so forth. Leader in the clubhouse play action attempts. Who do you think it is? With 179. 33 more than the second place quarterback with play action attempts.
Sam Darnold. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
All right.
179 play action attempts. Matthew Stafford and Bo Nix second at 146. Mahomes 142. Rodgers 140. Herbert 139. Then Darnold at 136.
Okay.
And again, Jordan Love, as of this thing put out, was under 100. That is a significant difference. And I'm not saying that he should have as many as Jared Goff, but I feel like he should have at least another 30 or so more, or 40 more, I guess, during the season. He should at very least be a top 10 quarterback when it comes to play action when you're running it second most in the NFL at this point.
Yeah, you missed 2.5 games too, right?
That's true. That's a good point. Yep.
So probably, you know, take away 15 attempts,
yep.
Five each game, somewhere around there. There is an update here from Rob Domofsky in the Matt LaFleur presser as well, too, which we'll get to later on in the show. But there's some concern there with Christian Watson, who couldn't play the type of football I wanted to play, so we shut it down. That's what Watson said. That's what LaFleur said he was told by him. And then an update on Evan Williams. Wants him back for the playoffs.
The playoffs?
Yes.
What's wrong with him?
After getting injured earlier on Saturday's practice, that is the hope, is that they can get him back for the playoffs.
So he got hurt yesterday?
Yes. Figured I should update you with that as soon as I knew that.
That's not good.
So get used to a lot of Zane Anderson.
Well, it's not going to be Zane Anderson. Yeah, that's what they did today. I guess, because if you get Bullard back, that then allows you to put Keyshawn Nixon back at safety. That's what's going to happen.
Well, Nixon plays plays outside when Bullard plays, right?
Right, but you'll have Jair. Stokes is healthy now. Valentine's been playing better. If I was a guessing man, Keyshawn goes back to safety next to McKinney.
Right.
And then Anderson goes back to the bench. And then your corners, providing Jair is out there, is Jair, Bullard, Valentine, Stokes. And Keyshawn ends up going back out to safety. That would be my guess. We'll see. Maybe they continue to start Zane Anderson. I don't think so, though. I think they'll go back to Keyshawn, Nixon, and see what happens from there. That is not good for Evan Williams, though. That is really discouraging.
So it sounds like you can assume he won't be ready for Minnesota, yes.
Yes, I would I would tend to agree with you on that. All right. Packers now 11-4 after the win. Saints now 5-10. If you want to jump aboard and you can talk about the discouraging news there on Evan Williams or Christian Watson. The Watson thing, him saying he couldn't do what he wanted. He was limping with that knee. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he was walking normal. So if he felt like, you know, he couldn't cut or he couldn't run as fast as he wanted to, speed's a large part of Watson's game, with all due respect. I mean, without that speed, you know, he's not the same player. So if he couldn't get going up to full speed or whatever the question case may be, and we're going to go back to the arrogance of the situation, Mr. Wirtz, that just possibly means Christian Watson knew this game was over. No sense to go back out there if I'm not 100%. So he took himself out.
Well, we saw it with Josh Jacobs. He said it afterwards with Scott Van Pelt.
He wasn't hurt, though.
Right. It was just as soon as it was anything happening, we're up 21, don't worry about it. I'm sure there was an idea of that with Christian Watson. Hey, if we're tied 21-21 sure. In a playoff game, is he going to be on the field? Maybe, but this game was out of hand pretty much from the first drive of the game.
Yeah, absolutely right about that. It was very apparent at 14-0 that the game was probably over at that point. All right, let's hear from Jordan Love, who talked earlier tonight. And again, Love's numbers overall, I mean, I don't know. It's not MVP worthy or nothing like that. 16 of 28, 182 through the air, one touchdown, didn't get sacked a single time. You start talking about that Packers run game. They ran for 188 yards, averaged just short of 5 yards per carry, three touchdowns, didn't give up a sack, Mr. Wirtz. Those dudes were playing tonight.
They were. I would love the stat of they showed it before. Now, this offensive line just plays every single day, every single week.
Yep. Getting better and better.
Four of the five guys have played 15 games now, started 15 games. The only one was Josh Myers. And then I believe Jordan Morgan filled in for that one, right?
Yep.
When Jenkins moved over. So the offensive line staying healthy has been a really good thing for Green Bay, and they've been really awesome. We knew how well they were going to do pass blocking going into the year, too, I think, with Rashid Walker and Zach Tom. We could not have imagined a run game, even with Josh Jacobs coming in, being as elite as it is in the NFL.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, to do it without a gluttony of first-round picks and gigantic contracts, you know, that's the other thing. You don't have Bakhtiari out there eating up a bunch of cap space out there at left tackle you're having to pay. You don't have three or four first-round draft picks on that line. That talks about getting guys coached up. And like you said, Brian Gutekunst having an eye for talent on that offensive line and being able to take guys that are in the second, third, fourth rounds and making something out of them.
Right. And Zach Tom started in a completely different, wasn't he left guard coming up? And then he's moved all around, played all different positions.
Yep. They said he can play all five.
Elton Jenkins can play all five positions on top of that, too. I really think the Rashid Walker growth is what needs to be studied here for the Green Bay Packers, because they lost, you know, David Bakhtiari was a fan favorite type all pro left tackle, and he seemingly fit into the role coming into it a little bit at the end of the last year. And has really not been, it hasn't been noticed for being a liability, so it's got to be worth something. And Jordan Love just doesn't get sacked. After that first game of the year, too, especially with the knee injury, had a really good opportunity to capitalize on that if you're an opposing defense. And this offensive line took on that challenge, and they have kept him and Malik Willis, whenever he has to play, relatively clean all year.
All right, let's get to Jordan Love again, who talked after the game today. And this should be a happy, happy press conference, one would think. There is Jordan Love after a Packers 34-0 win over the New Orleans Saints. They clinch a playoff berth, first shutout in the NFL all season long. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic tweeted this out just a little while ago. Xavier McKinney, Packers safety, you know, they got in a free agency from the New York Giants, said in the past that he had to, quote, scratch and claw, end quote, for playoff chances with the Giants. From a locker nearby, Keyshawn Nixon yelled, "Welcome to the Packers." That's right. Where the Packers go to the playoffs every year. No clawing and scratching and all this other nonsense. You come to Green Bay, you play for the Packers, you expect to go to the playoffs, you expect to compete to win division titles, you expect to go deep in the playoffs at that. There is none of this stuff at the beginning of the year. It's like, man, we just get to 500. That'd be a hell of a year considering our four wins that we had last year, right? So that is something. Like, if you're Josh Jacobs coming from the Raiders, you are like Xavier McKinney, where it's not a regular thing, where you're, that's not something that's guaranteed every year with both of those organizations like it is Green Bay.
No, and Green Bay, on top of it, they have opened them with, like, the fan base itself and the system at that. Jeff Hafley has relied heavily on Xavier McKinney all year, and look at what Matt LaFleur has changed his offense into now for Josh Jacobs.
Exactly.
You got to feel that love. If you were on a team where you thought, maybe I'm just producing for a bad team because there's a lot of bad players around me, and now you have even better production for a really good team, and now you're getting your recognition you need in the national media.
I want to play back this Jordan Love interview. This was on ESPN's postgame right there on the field at Lambeau. Rashawn Gary is the fool that you hear yelling behind Jordan Love. There you go, Jordan Love after the game on ESPN. And it's going to be fun to see what this team looks like next week. 325 kick, Packers and the Vikings will be on immediately following that one on the Green Bay Football postgame show, driven by Young Express here on The Fan. We're going to hear from Matt LaFleur coming up in a little bit. We'll hear a little bit of Josh Jacobs as well. When you talk about Jordan Love, and this offense. And what if this thing with Christian Watson is more serious than we realize? Because now it sounds like they're going to do some testing. If this thing is more serious with Watson, how does it impact how far they can go?
As far as ceiling, I don't think it ruins a ceiling.
So you're still saying Super Bowl team even without Watson?
Yes. It's harder, for sure, but I don't think it is. If they lost Josh Jacobs tomorrow, they are not a Super Bowl team anymore. If you lose Christian Watson for the rest of the season tomorrow, I don't think it crushes the ceiling. It just makes it raises the floor.
And how you play changes. Because then you don't have that vertical, long dude that can go up and win jump balls consistently in that situation. And it would really suck that he ends up getting hurt because somebody fell into his knee. Like, you played all year to keep that hamstring intact and not be lose games because of hamstrings. And then now multiple times this year, you find new ways to get hurt and not be on the field. It's not his fault, not blaming him. Sometimes you're just unlucky in your career of not being able to stay healthy. It's happened plenty of times. We've talked about it before on this show. So you just hope and pray that Watson is good, that if he misses the Vikings game, if he misses the Bears game, that he's at least healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. I'm going to get something else to think about. What if this team beats the Vikings? They have nothing to play for in the last week. Do you sit guys against the Bears? Run Malik Willis out there. Sit Josh Jacobs. Let Wilson and Brooks carry the load and give guys some needed time off to rest their legs. Kenny Clark maybe gets a day. Rashawn Gary maybe gets a day. And sit guys in that Bears game if you have nothing to play for anyhow. And maybe you think you can beat them without those guys, so it doesn't really matter whether you have them or not.
I definitely think Jordan Love, if there's nothing to play for week 18, will not play that football game. I think that's probably fair to say with Josh Jacobs, too. I think they'll probably rely on both those backs that they did today. I think their running game looked just fine without them.
Be shocked if they set anybody.
If they have nothing to play for, if their seating can't move.
Correct. Shocked.
Just because it's the Bears?
Just because there's a long line of teams that have sat guys in regular season games that have come back the following week and look like crap. I think history, and LaFleur is all about history. LaFleur is all about studying trends and knowing all of this stuff. I would be surprised if those guys got sat. Would I be surprised if they got sat in the second half of that game, sure, regardless of score? No. But I bet you they at least play a half or somewhere along that line, and they approach it like a second preseason game, maybe as far as how many snaps are going to give everybody. But I think just from the aspect of making sure that rhythm stays, especially if you're on a winning streak and you're still playing well and the offense is still clicking and you're still doing your thing and so forth, I think there is a good chance that those guys probably still play but maybe get sat later. How bad is that organization in Chicago, though?
Yeah.
It's bad, man. It is. I mean, it's not Jets bad where they're using Madden ratings and being run by a kid. But, I mean, could that Brick dude in New York do any worse than what they're doing currently in Chicago?
Brick Johnson is a crazy name, and he's not very good at football, at evaluating football, at least.
Well, he just uses Madden. I mean, I don't. Madden. Guys that create those video games deserve a pay raise if they're running an NFL team.
If the McCaskies knew how to work a PlayStation, they would look at Madden ratings too.
You think so?
Oh my gosh.
George McCaskey knows how to work a Madden PlayStation.
No.
Yeah.
No. Past this time.
Really?
Way past this time. Tecmo Bowl ratings, but Bo Jackson's still the highest in that one.
Oh, LT was a beast. Oh, I love me some Tecmo Bowl. Super Tecmo Bowl was fun. There was a lot of good ones. Oh, yeah. I always played with Cleveland in Tecmo Bowl. Bernie Kosar, Clay Matthews rushing the passer, Mack in the backfield running the football. Yeah, man. The Browns were my team whenever I played on Tecmo Bowl. Everybody else, you know, would play with the Giants and play with the Raiders and all that. I always play with Cleveland. Packers get the win 34-0 over the New Orleans Saints. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur coming up. Silver Room 4, if you want to hop aboard here after we hear from Matt LaFleur, feel free. Nicolay Law fan talk and text line 414-677-414-677-1250. And of course, it is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here.
It's time for the drive of the game. Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
The Green Bay Packers take care of business against the New Orleans Saints. We're broadcasting live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here, our guy over there, other side of the glass, Thomas Wirtz. He'll be here tomorrow on Christmas Eve doing his thing as well with the Pack-A-Day radio show. Andy Herman hosting tomorrow, as always, from 8 to 9. I'm actually on that show at 8:20 tomorrow morning. Looking forward to that. 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis from 9 to 11. And then Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's with myself, Charlie Hewson, producing the show tomorrow from 2 until 5 in the afternoon. Mr. Wirtz, how does Christmas Eve and Christmas work for you?
How is it?
How does it work? You were just asking me in the break. What do I do when we open presents, all that stuff?
Oh,
how does it work for you?
Yeah, I have my sister actually hosts Big Christmas now. She got a new house a few years ago. So big family Christmas tends to fall tomorrow on Christmas Eve. I'll go over there, and then I'll go over to my mom's house after, and we will do Christmas there. Christmas Day is pretty much just a chill, do whatever you want type of day. We've done movie in the past, I know.
Oh, yeah,
like
we've done
that.
Movies on Christmas Day when I was growing up as a kid. Yep.
But Christmas Eve is all the celebration, gift-giving stuff along those lines. And then Christmas Day is just relaxed because usually no one's doing anything.
I've got, normally we do Christmas Eve and we go by my brother's house and all the cousins exchange presents and they make food. And then Christmas morning we do just immediate family, presents, whatever. So this year, because the daughter is sick, we can't go anywhere. So we're stuck. So this year, my mom tomorrow morning is coming to the house and dropping off her presents for the kids. So I told the kids, I said, okay, well, if she brings presents for y'all, I'll let you all open her presents tomorrow night, Christmas Eve night, and then Christmas Day, that deal. But if she doesn't bring any presents, then you all can maybe open one or two presents from us Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, we kind of do the whole thing. The Christmas Day movie thing used to be a big thing when I was growing up. My parents, we always did that, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, go to a movie. That's always good. But that was before the NFL had 3 freaking NFL games going on, and the NBA had games going on, and everything else, right? So now it's completely all screwed up. And yeah, we talked about it earlier today about Giannis, you know, kind of feeling disrespected because the Bucks weren't playing on Christmas Day. Back in the day, that was a big thing for me. Like, I was so excited that they finally got to play on Christmas Day and so forth. Now it's kind of like, cool, I don't have to turn on my TV on if I don't want to all day.
No, I feel the exact same way. Not jealous at all of the teams who have to play on Christmas. No. I'd rather not have my Christmas. I don't like playing on Thanksgiving. I'd rather watch meaningless football on Thanksgiving.
Correct. Yes. But I also am the one that argues that the Bears, not the Bears, the Lions and the Cowboys should not have that game every year. They can have it, but they should not be able, to have it at home every year. So it should be Lions at home 1 year, next year Lions play in that same time slot, but they play on the road against somebody. And then they come back. So they're guaranteed a home game every other year. Cowboys are guaranteed a home game every other year. Instead of just being given it to you here, you get the home game every single year. Like, I feel like that's ridiculous.
I kind of like the tradition of it.
The tradition of what? That team has been garbage for how many years in Detroit?
And garbage on Thanksgiving. It's a tradition.
I don't like it. Okay, so the drive of the game, I'm just going to say it was the first drive of the game. Because I think it set the tone for the game, where it kind of, you know, 14.5 points in the NFL is a large, large spread in the NFL, right? Anytime you start getting into 2 touchdowns or more, that's a really big spread. That's hard to cover. So the Saints knew right well what the spread was. They knew that their offense was going to struggle to score points. And when you come out, punch them in the mouth, and score on the first drive, I think that's probably drive of the game, Thomas Wirtz.
I like the idea. I think the second drive, I mean, you go 17 plays, 96 long. Yards, yeah. 9-minute drive, yep. and get there and score. That was an awesome drive.
Was
and
then that Josh a game Jacobs, over drive? That early? Was
we can do what we want to drive. Yes. So in that sense, I would say yes. Game over.
Yeah, I thought it was over after the first drive because I'm just like, I don't see how they're going to stop the Packers offense at this point unless the Packers do something stupid. And thankfully, they didn't. Matt LaFleur. Please be happy, Matt LaFleur. Please do not allow me to have to pause this five times to get mad at you, Matt LaFleur. Please, let's go into the holidays on a good note. Me and you, Matt LaFleur. That's all I'm asking for. Good note going into the holidays, Matt. Here we go. I totally forgot, forgive me, that they did that whole Murphy tribute at halftime tonight because he is done essentially after the draft coming up here at the end of April. And then he will step aside and Ed Policy will take over, which I'm a big fan of. Love me some Ed Policy. I think that was a great hire, a great decision by them. And then the other thing I didn't kind of put two and two together on is LaFleur's point there in that first thing. And I'm not mad at LaFleur. I'm just stopping it here to talk about it, is Matt LaFleur's point of on a holiday week, you know, having this big game against Minnesota, because obviously they're gonna want to be around on Christmas Day or Hanukkah that starts Christmas night, first time since like what 2005 or whatever that's happened. So that is gonna be maybe somewhat of a distraction during the course of the rest of this week as far as getting them ready to go against the Vikings. But at least it's a short flight. At least it's not flying across the country, Mr. Wirtz, and having to, you know, get in there early, get accustomed to the time change and everything else, and then playing the next day.
Right, right. I haven't seen much about this Mark Murphy. It pretty much was just him getting flowers for the entire time, it felt like. He did have a good quote here. Every NFL team says our fans are the best. We are the only team where that's true. And also, you are the best owners in the NFL on top of that. So giving a lot of credit to the fans here, to Mark Murphy.
No, it's BS. but either way, you know how I feel about this whole ownership thing. You get no voting rights. You get nothing other than a piece of paper, which is fine, right? I mean, what they've done with the piece of paper that they get $250 a crack for and whatever has been really quite remarkable. You look at the expansions that they've done multiple times over at Lambeau Field to continuously add to the attendance, to keep themselves in the middle of it from generating revenue and so forth. They have not foolishly spent the money of those Packer fans that have bought those pieces of paper that have no value.
No, absolutely not. They've done so many awesome things yes. through the Titletown District and whatnot over there. And no other place in the country could survive with the size of Green Bay the way the Packers have for correct. As long as they have.
Exactly correct, yes. All right, we'll continue on. Matt LaFleur here. Packers win 34-0. You're listening to the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express here on The Fan. That play that he's talking about, Love was in the grasp. And he kind of like jumped up in the air and kind of just kind of got it out of his hand to Jacobs, who caught it at like his shoestrings and then turned up field for a nice gain at that point. Other quarterbacks probably would have went down with a sack. Now, sometimes that's going to cost you. Sometimes he's going to try and force something like that, and it's going to lead to an interception or a fumble or something like that. When it works, it's beautiful, and in this case, it worked tonight, and it was beautiful.
Well, and we've seen the other side of it already, too. We remember the ugly pick six from
correct.
L.A. I mean, it's the same energy
getting
of the
flung
throw.
To the ground.
Right. You're trying to make a play when there's not a play there. Jacobs has been really, really effective out of the pass game, though, as of late, on those dump downs. He's surprisingly shifty when he gets a reception
yes.
too, right?
It's absolutely. Not,
he's a completely different runner than he is a receiver. When he's receiving, he tends to make guys miss, juking around, versus when he's running the ball and he's just trying to run you over. So I don't think that Green Bay really appreciated that value that Josh Jacobs was going to bring this year as well, because of how great Aaron Jones was in the past game for all those years. I don't think it's a significant downgrade when Jacobs is receiving versus when Jones was.
No, I agree with you. Could they use him more in the passing game? I guess. But like we talked about with the tight ends, even from that perspective, there's not enough balls to go around. And you're throwing it less as well to go along with everything else, because you're running the ball so well with Josh Jacobs, you don't have to throw it as much. So he's not throwing the ball 40 or 45 times a game where there's plenty of passes go around. He's got to kind of figure it out as you go. And then you take and you talk about what we talked about earlier when we went inside the box, brought to you by Steelwind Industries in Oak Creek, which was nine different players carried the ball tonight when you look at the box score. Nine different players had at least one rushing attempt. Like, that's not something you see in a box score on a week-to-week basis. It's just not. So those are all pass opportunities out the window that aren't available for a Jacobs or a tight end.
Right, and you're not going to find me arguing that I'm mad that Jacobs is getting touches receiving versus he's getting them rushing. As long as the ball gets into his hand, it's not a real big deal for me. I know he didn't get his 25 that we want today, but he obviously wasn't. They didn't need him to do it today.
No.
Most days when he gets that many touches, it's going to go well for Green Bay. Even on a day like today, just when he had the ball, he was effective enough.
Absolutely. Jacobs was on ESPN after the game as well. I cannot wait for that game. Highly courtesy of ESPN, Scott Van Pelt and stuff. Again, do you hear Bears still suck chants in the background? They weren't even playing the Bears. You hear go Pack, go chants in the background. It was a college-like atmosphere behind that interview, Mr. Wirtz.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the love that they give to Josh Jacobs. I think he's just been so important to this team. And the fans really have showed up the last few weeks. Look at what happened today in that interview with Scott Van Pelt, but also then to Seattle for them to travel as well as it has been to... I'm excited, and I think a lot of Packer fans are excited for this season, and I wonder how well they're going to travel to Minnesota because the game's going to probably just be all Vikings fans the entire time, but if they're able to get into a certain situation like they were against Seattle...
No chance.
Can they drown out after being up by that much?
There's no way they're getting that percentage of fans at that stadium.
Did you see how expensive tickets are?
No, I did not.
I think it's going to be the most expensive game in the NFL this season.
How expensive are they?
On resales last week, they were cheapest seats were sniffing $400.
Cheapest seats?
Yeah.
Up in the nosebleeds, $400 for a Packer Vikings game?
Let me double check right here.
Oh, no. There's zero. Listen, this is the one aspect as a sports fan where I'm different than everybody else. I'm not paying an exorbitant amount of money to see anybody play. I'm just not. I'll watch it on TV. I'm not overspending for a Super Bowl. I'm not overspending for a playoff game or nothing like that.
Cheapest seat on StubHub, $358 for section 346. That is all the way up.
No way. No chance. And it's a regular season game on top of that, and both teams are in? No. Nope. Not doing it. Absolutely not. But I will tell you, I would be willing to do if I wasn't doing radio, work with Young Express. That's right. I'd be up for it. Right? Full-time independent contractor. Be driving, within 250 miles of Milwaukee. Be ready to go with my cargo van or my Sprinter van. I got a minivan, not exactly a cargo van or a Sprinter van, so I'm not quite sure if that would work, but it's one of those ones where all the seats fold down into the floor. So I think my space would be big enough where this would work. They're looking, again, for full-time independent contractors. Drive locally, 250 miles, 99% no-touch freight, which is good. So small guys like, I don't got to worry about lifting and breaking my back with all this different freight. Freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is drive. It really is just that simple. And how about this? Live a stress-free lifestyle. Put the windows down. Turn up the radio and drive, baby, drive and get paid for it too. Huh? Telling you, that's how you do it. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. Packers get the win 34-0. It is the Green Bay Football postgame show. Driven by Young Express, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Up next, name our MVP of the game, Sparky here.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
On three. One, two, three.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go!
It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, here we go. 34-0. Packers get the win. It's a broadcast live Well, 12:50 a.m. at 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Other side of the glass is Thomas Wirtz and MVP of the game. You go first, and then I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Ooh, all right. I will go with Edgerrin Cooper.
What?
That's what I'm going to go with.
You better have some good explaining to do here. Go ahead.
Edgerrin Cooper leads the team in tackles the last 3 weeks. Now,
this is not a history award. This is a tonight award.
Tonight, he led the team in tackles as well. Had a big tackle for loss as well. He's everywhere on the field. The Packers love to give up plays over the middle of the field. They were 30th in the NFL coming into today. No big plays really over the middle of the field that jump out to me. That's because Cooper's dropping back in coverage with Wilson too. I'm a big fan of his game. I think he had a big day, and because of the limit of big plays that we saw, he's got to be recognized as well again too. He's everywhere on the field, and Andy Herman says it on Pack a Day Radio. It's like he's a 12th man in himself because of how athletic he is. I love what Edgerrin Cooper does. I think he's going to be a stud in the making. And I don't think it's a stud in the making. I think he is a stud already.
I will say it's the offensive line, your MVPs of the football game, as we talked about earlier today. This football team didn't allow a sack. This football team did what they wanted to do on the ground all game long and controlled the clock as well. Not that you were worried about the Saints offense doing anything, but it was about as good of a performance as you're going to see from that offensive line, who continues to get better and better and better. And with two games to go, Minnesota and Chicago, you know, you're in a position here to go 13-4. And if memory serves correctly, Thomas Wirtz, earlier in the season, when this season was starting off, there were a lot of people that didn't know if they'd even make the playoffs this year.
I understand. I think they are overachieving right now, and this Green Bay Packers team seems to be getting good at the right time at that. We'll see with the next game against Minnesota, but things are looking really good in December right now for Green Bay.
Looking really good indeed. And you talk about this Packers team, and it was brought up there about Matt LaFleur and this whole deal. Ryan Wood tweeted this out earlier. Packers going to the playoffs for the second time in two seasons with Jordan Love. Not sure anyone expected that at the end of the Aaron Rodgers tenure. Fourth time in six seasons that Matt LaFleur has taken this team to the playoffs. Only the second time Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney are going to the postseason in their careers. And how about this? You had, what, three consecutive 13-win seasons, I want to say, when Matt LaFleur started off with Aaron Rodgers?
Yep.
And now you're going to be in a position to have a 13-win season possibly this year. You beat the Vikings, that's 12. You beat the Bears, that's 13. So he can now have a 13-win season for the guy that nobody thought was going to be all that in a bag of chips in Jordan Love. This team's going to come back largely intact the following year and have a chance to do it again. I mean, you're talking about he's got a chance here to have, what, like six 13-win seasons in the first 8-9 years of his career coaching as a head coach? That would be insane.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur he's the guy right now for Green Bay. It's not Jordan Love. It's not Josh Jacobs all the way. Matt LaFleur, I feel like, is the brand of the Green Bay Packers right now, and it's because of his ability. And they were giving a lot of credit to Stenovich today on the broadcast. I'm not sure if you heard that too, but Matt LaFleur was out there promoting him, saying that the offense is just as much him as it is Matt LaFleur, which I don't believe any of that, really. But I think Matt LaFleur is doing all the right things as well in this back half of the season. And just because you can never forget, Brandon McManus is awesome. I mean, that 55-yarder today looked like nothing.
Yep.
And did you see Narvison missed a 50-yarder for Tennessee this week, too? So
I did.
It's so awesome to have him as the kicker now.
So Matt LaFleur has 4 of 6 years with double-digit win totals. 4 of 6 coming into this year. So now it's 5 of 7 years with double-digit win totals coming into this year. Now, he's not Mike Tomlin, where he's never had a sub-500 record because he had an 8-win season in 2022. But 13-3, 13-3, 13-4, 8-9, 9-8, 10-4, and now with a chance to get back to 13-4 this year. And he's not going to be a guy that's going to win Coach of the Year, obviously. I think that's going to be more than likely going to be Mike Tomlin's going to have the best chance at that.
Ooh.
O'Connell, probably. But if the Packers beat O'Connell, that takes him out, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think Mike Tomlin wins it. Now, if the Vikings beat the Packers, the Vikings beat the Lions, then I think O'Connell does win coach of the year in the NFL, and he would deserve it by every measurement of what determines who coach of the year is. He would definitely deserve it. We talk about coaching trees all the time, and Matt LaFleur talking about Stanovich. Nobody's going to listen to him ever again. Never again. You had Hackett, stinks. Then after that, you had Getsy, stinks. His coaching tree stinks out loud right now of those that have left to go coach elsewhere in a prominent role as an offensive coordinator. I don't think anybody's going to listen to him on Stanovich going forward. It's going to take some time before anybody's going to trust that again.
Yeah, why would you right now? Matt LaFleur, by the way, if you look at career winning percentage as a head coach, this was, I assume, going into the game. I'm not sure. It's about 69%. Vince Lombardi, for instance, was 73% just below him. So he's still not even the all-time Packers guy, but he's ahead of legendary names such as, you know, Halas and Shula and Dungy, right, and Andy Reid and all of them. So Matt LaFleur, just wanted to give him more on his stats as well. If it seems really good, it's because it is.
Eric Upton tweets out, Josh Jacobs has scored 14 total touchdowns now. That is the most ever by a Packers player in their first season with the team.
Mm.
How about that? That's a nice little nugget for you here.
They never get offensive free agents, so that makes sense.
That's true.
Otherwise, it would have to be a rookie, right?
Right.
So
it would have to be a rookie otherwise.
Yeah, yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Again, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Thanks so much for tuning in and giving us a listen today. As always, if you missed any part of the show, if you want to go back and listen to it or tell your friends to give it a listen, all you have to do is download and listen for free on your Audacy app, AUDACY, or go to thefanmilwaukee.com and listen that way. And with Christmas Eve coming up here tomorrow, may I remind you that all shows will be live and local with all the normal hosts. So Andy Herman with a Pack-A-Day radio show tomorrow morning from 8 to 9. I'll be on that show at 8:20 as a special guest. 9 to 11 will be the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Then it's whoever is filling in for Jim Rome tomorrow. Today it was Bill Reiter. Well, I don't know who it is tomorrow. And then 2 to 5, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.